Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault. The following presentation takes place at the 2009 Minnesota Summit to Prevent Sexual Violence. Donna Dunn, the Executive Director of the Minnesota Coalition Against Sexual Assault, discusses the prevalence of sexual assault and emphasizes that it takes people from all industries to stop it from happening.
Every 2 minutes, someone victimizes another person. Every 2 minutes, someone is victimized. And this is what we are here today to stop. Thanks so much to all of you who are in the room who helped with your hard work to make today possible. And thank you to those for whom sexual violence is not necessarily the focus of your work, but you have taken time out of busy schedules to come and join us today to start identifying ways that we can change our world in Minnesota. I wanted to also add a thank you that MnCASA is very, very pleased to have financial support from the Bush Foundation and the Otto Bremer Foundation, which is making the event also possible. When we sent an invitation to you back in October to come to the Minnesota Summit, we started collecting headlines from newspapers in Minnesota, because often what we hear is people say, well, you know, sexual assault doesn't happen that much. It's not really that big an issue. You're just kind of blowing this out of proportion. Well, over the 6 weeks or so that we collected headlines, we have over 100 that we have found through our Google searches and other searches that have appeared in Minnesota newspapers. Let me share some of them with you. Here's a sampling. Police investigate rape at U dorm. 10 years for soliciting kids for sex. Robbinsdale sex offender accused of having sex with disabled woman. Woman assaulted by stranger in Minneapolis home. Girl Scout leader charged with rape, now faces federal porn charges. Ex-sleepy eye teacher sentenced for relationship with student. Cottage Grove man pleads guilty to possession of child pornography. Burnsville care attendant charged in sexual assault on teen. Northfield case puts focus on child porn on the web. Prison time follows guilty pleas for sexual abuse of toddler. Woman gets jail time, probation for sexual misconduct with teen. And for those of you who saw today's paper, there was a recent assault of a 73-year-old woman in Minneapolis. So there are these headlines, and there are more. I could have read all 120 of them to you, but I didn't. I know that you've seen them too. The point is, this is not an aberration in Minnesota. This is everyday business. And we are here to say it is our business to stop this. The Minnesota Department of Health recently released a violence data brief, which took a look at sexual violence data in Minnesota, comparing 2002 through 2007, I believe. And the data that they cited were from state and national sources, and compared that then with what we saw happening in terms of hospital reports, law enforcement reports, and victim service reports in the state of Minnesota. What it tends to indicate that things haven't really changed much. About 1 in 4 females we can expect and 1 in 7 males will be the victim of an attempted or completed sexual assault before they reach the age of 18. I would hope that that data would surprise you some. I suspect that it doesn't surprise many of us in this room. When we at the meeting where we talked about this sexual violence data brief and when it was released, when we pressed the epidemiologists about whether or not we could say that this is an epidemic, can we say this is really huge? Can we say it's an epidemic in Minnesota? What we learned is that an epidemic really indicates a spike from the norm. So we can't call this really an epidemic because it's not spiking from the norm. It is the norm. These numbers remain stable. So we can't say this is an epidemic. What we say is that it is endemic. This is expected to continue at this rate. This rate is normal. Well, you know what? This is a norm that we are not ready to accept. This is a norm that harms us all, depletes our creativity, depletes our resources, weakens communities, and assigns thousands of women, children, and men to losses from which we could all benefit if we had all of that energy back. To benefit our communities, it would be a wonderful gift. It's time to change this norm in Minnesota. I wanted to make sure to let you know that when we talk about sexual violence, we're talking about the full range. We're talking about sexual violence that affects children, young adults, elders. We're talking about the range of age. We're talking about the range of behavior also, any kind of sexually exploitive, invasive, abusive behavior, whether it's for personal or commercial gain. So we're kind of looking at the very broad picture of sexual violence. One thing I wanted to also point to is you've noticed our image for the summit, which is this rock cairn. And one of the things that we know is that a rock cairn is an indication on a new trail to help people find the way. Well, we feel as though we are finding our way. We are walking down this new road of finding our own route through the work that we do and our daily business to address sexual violence prevention. So keep that image with us. We do know, and I learned last night, that when one reaches a summit in hiking trails, the rock cairn becomes a very large pile at the summit. So let's just consider that we are starting to build our rock cairns to lead us to that summit.
Donna's remarks are followed by a statement from Patty Wetterling from the Sexual Violence Prevention Unit in the Department of Health. She explains the magnitude of sexual violence and the effect it can have on business, government, and public health.
The playing cards that are on your table, these are prevention messages, and I pulled out just a few that I thought were especially poignant. 90% of Fortune 500 companies surveyed received complaints of sexual harassment. Over a two-year period, the U.S. government lost more than $267 million in diminished productivity and turnover due to sexual harassment. When a public health problem is a social issue, it becomes imperative that social leaders and public health advocates become involved to create a protective environment. That's why we're here. I've been doing this for 20 years. Most of you know my story, but I remember one time at the beginning when I was going out and talking to people about child abduction and trying to protect children and talking to communities, and I had a second grader raise his hand and say, "Why didn't people make a big deal out of this before Jacob was kidnapped? Why does it always take another kid?" And I thought, you know, that's public health. That's what we're trying to do now. Many people have been working a long time, and I just want to honor the five state departments that are sponsoring this. It's no small task to get five agencies to come together. Sexual violence crosses every agency. I am so grateful you're all here, and I'm so anxious to get to the activities. I can say that child sexual abuse is 1.7 times more frequent than childhood obesity, which we hear a lot about. It's 75 times more common than pediatric cancer, which we hear a lot about. It's 167 times more common than autism in children, which we also hear a lot about. We need to talk about this. We need to address it. We need to address how we treat one another, the respect that we give one another, the acknowledgement of differences and the dignity that we give to every individual paints a picture that our children see, that our young girls see in learning self-confidence and skill development. The model that we give to our young boys and how they treat the women and the girls in their lives, we owe them the tools that promote the qualities that we want. I found it so amazing to talk to the youth that were putting together the collage as you came in, and I was excited to see them getting it and them saying, you know, this is impacting our lives, and I was really troubled by the fact that they had trouble finding positive images of relationships. That's the environment that we're turning over to our kids. That's the environment I question every day. I have a 5-year-old granddaughter and an almost 3-year-old granddaughter. And I wonder, are those images what I want for Lily or Izzy? Are those images the way I want my new grandson, Jake, to be acting towards women? Environment matters. This is the world that we're turning over to our kids. I think that we created a plan using a lot of the resources of people in this room, and the Minnesota Department of Health has a strategic plan to prevent sexual violence, and our first goal is to address the toxic environment. This plan came from an image of what do we want. Sometimes it's hard to talk about what is sexual violence and how can we stop it, but I think what makes it clear for me is to have that image of the world the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes when I see these pictures, that's not it. And sometimes when you see a t-shirt that says Junior Pimp Squad, that's not it. When you see a t-shirt that says my friend went to Thailand and all I got was this lousy kidnapped prostitute, that's not it. When I see the ads for young girls and women promoting promiscuity, I know that's not what I want. Sometimes it's hard to point out what do you want, but when sometimes I hear stories like 14-year-old Michelle McKinney, who was worried about a little girl she saw sitting in a man's lap in a movie theater in Oregon, and she had the courage to go and get some help and keep telling, that led to the eventual arrest and conviction of that man, I know that's it. That's what we want. We're shocked when we hear some of the stories because we have this sort of belief that there's a norm of the way it's supposed to be. I learned early on that we can't just hope that this world happens. Hope is a verb. You got to get up and make it happen. We can't prosecute our way out of the problem. We know that many of these people have done this before. We need sex offender management, and we thank everybody who's doing that, and we need to do more. I work in the Golden Rule building every day on my way to work. I think that's it. If we could just treat one another the way we want to be treated. When I hear the BBC report that every school pupil in England is to be taught domestic violence against women and girls is unacceptable, I know that's it. That's part of what we want. We make a huge difference by speaking up and not contributing to the toxic environment and not being silent, incorporating policies that make our businesses equitable and respectful, treating one another with compassion and encouraging empathy in our youth. We're part of a bigger movement. Today's Sexual Violence Prevention Summit not only puts Minnesota at the head of the class, but will also take a significant step toward fulfilling Goal 4 of the United Nations Secretary General's campaign to end violence against women. Their Goal 4 says, increasing awareness to change attitudes and influence behavior amongst people from all walks of life is essential to preventing and ending violence against women. That's why we're here. It's so important that we imagine. One of my favorite songs written for Jacob was by Douglas Wood, and he wrote, there's a dream that we dream how the world should be, where the children are safe, where the children are free. But we know if it's to happen, we must make it so. We are Jacob's hope, and we are the hope for every child missing. We are the hope for every child who's home safe today and every child who's never been victimized. And we're also the hope for all of our seniors who are out there and deserve the dignity. We're the hope for a lifetime of where everyone can live up to their full potential. The Minnesota Department of Health is so pleased that you're all here. We're excited to be a co-sponsor of this event, and I honor all of you and the work that you do. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit CalCASA.org. That's CalCASA.org.